Okay, Pasuk tells us, Vayaskei Aaron Elulpnei HaMenorah Helen Eroseha Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. And Rashi writes, Vayaskei Aaron, so it doesn't seem like such a chiddush in the Pasuk, Vayaskei Aaron, so Rashi says, what is even a lesser chiddush, right? Lahagid Shvachu Shal Aaron Shaloshina. That tells the great Shevach of Aaron, because he did exactly what Rosh Baruch Hu told him to do. Which is like a little bit surprising. Why would we give him such great credit? What's the great Shevach that he didn't do anything different than what Rosh Baruch Hu told him to do? I mean, that's all of our jobs. All the Mefarshish Rashi struggle with this. What exactly is this Shevach? Don't we all deserve that same Shevach for wearing black tefillin every day and not, changing it to have sports teams emblems or whatever on like we do on other religious articles what's this amazing shevach that we did the mitzvah exactly the way Hashem wants us to do the mitzvah? It's a little bit troubling. A second question, we're not going to have three questions today, only two, but a second question. I was at a chasana last night, beautiful chasana, and Hashem will be at many more over the next couple of weeks. So it's wedding season, right? This is this is the time. So Roni at the chasana. So it's wedding season now. So something about wedding. The chasan's one line that he has to remember under the chuppah is, and he doesn't even have to remember, they have it on a card for him. It's Haret Mekadesh Sli Petavazu or Zo Kadash Moshe Yisrael, right? So that's the line that generates a Jewish marriage. That, accompanied by giving the ring in front of two witnesses, that generates a Jewish marriage. When you think about it, the Das Moshe, what does Das Moshe mean? So the Gemara in Ksuvos tells us what Das Moshe is. There's Das Moshe, there's Das Yudis. Das Moshe means the Torah itself. So Haret L'Kadesh L'Pitvazu, Kid Das Moshe V'Yisrael. In some way, we're comparing a wedding to the Torah itself, to the exact... The actual called Cheftza Shel Torah to the Torah. What exactly are we highlighting other than this is a legal marriage? Meaning, do we normally say that about any other mitzvah that we do? Even if you want to do a Hinni Muchan Mezuman to be Mekayim the mitzvah, Kakosuv Batorah, like it's commanded in the Torah or something like that. Kedas Moshe seems like a much more general formulation where we're comparing the marriage itself to the Torah itself. So I heard a beautiful approach from a friend of mine, a very dear friend of mine, Moshe Bamberger Shlita, who is the Mashkiach in Lander College for Men, Beis Medrash LeTalmud. And he said the following. Once again, Roni, if you've heard this, Chazal teach us that if you hear a Dvar Torah that you've already heard before, and even if you've heard it many times before, you shouldn't tell the person who's saying it that you've already heard it. Im shama adam mechaveru dvar Torah shu kvar shama osa pamachas asur lo lomar lechaveru kvar shamati alza. You're not allowed to say, I heard that already. Don't bother. I heard it. I know it already. It's worthwhile to hear that same Torah filtered through another person, or even hearing it again from the same person. That's also valuable. That's also something that has great value to it. Mashal ma davar doma. I don't know the pop culture references from people in your age bracket, so I'm going to have to go with my age bracket, and you'll just have to use your, maybe you'll suggest and you'll tell me. There are certain movies, let's say, of people in my age bracket that if you're walking by somewhere and you see that that movie is on, no matter how from you are, you stop for a minute or two just to, because it's so nostalgic. It's so like, for my age bracket, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You walk by and you see Ferris Bueller, like you stop, you start saying some of the lines. Why? Because you saw it 1,000 times. Every time you were homesick from school, you watched what Ferris did when he was homesick from school. It's everyone could say, in your age bracket?
Home Alone.
Home Alone? That's so pathetic, but okay. Are you talking like Home Alone 4? it was like the black kid. they always have like with a multi, all right. So now I can't post the shoot. We'll have to give it some other time. But there are certain things that, like, you hear again, and it's just like there's a certain nostalgia that it brings up. So you stop for a few minutes. You know what's going to happen. You've seen it, but it's nostalgic and something you connect to. When a person connects properly to Torah, when you have that sense of longing, and more than longing, of comfort with Torah, of like, this is what makes me feel at home, because this is, you know, this is like back in the mother's womb. This is like the most protective environment. This is what makes me, this is like my foundation. This is what makes me feel most comfortable. You know, I'll give you another mashal. When my kids were young, they were huge Yankees fans. Now they claim not to be, but we know. So in 2009, the Yankees won the World Series. I think it was, might have been the last time they won the World Series, in 2009. So at that time, this was many, many years ago, for a Hanukkah present, I think it was my parents, or maybe it was one of their aunts and uncles, got them a Hanukkah gift of a DVD set. You know what a DVD is, remember? A DVD set of the Yankees World Series games. Every game, just on DVD. YouTube, I guess, didn't have it yet, so, or didn't exist yet, I don't know. But a DVD set. Now, who on earth, even then I had the kasha, but who on earth is going to sit there watching games where you know what the result is? You know exactly what's going to happen. You know, the games that they won, the games that they lost, pitch by pitch, inning to inning, the entire thing. Why would they do that? Why would a Yankees fan, I mean, apparently enough people were interested that they made DVDs and sold them. Like, why would someone do that? Isn't that like the whole excitement of sports, that you don't know what's going to happen? But the answer is that it's a pleasure for a certain type of person to relive those moments, because that's what makes them feel comfortable. That's their place of nostalgia. That's their place of belonging. It's doubly true about music. I mean, I realize I'm giving more Michelle than Michelle, but it's definitely true about music. Again, for people in my generation, if you've ever seen the crowd, and I think these things still happen, at a Billy Joel concert, it is people my age and older only, all white, by the way, the people my age and older. The guy is like 75 years old. You know what happens to people's voices when they get older? And even me, I'm only 47, right? If you listen to a recording of a shir I gave in 2009, and a recording that of a shir I gave now, I can never sing, but I can speak, right? My voice is entirely different, and it's much, much worse. It's very raspy and hoarse, and the guy is 75 years old. He can't sing anymore, but people go and they love it, because to hear Billy Joel sing The Piano Man is like they love it, and because that's their place of nostalgia, that's their place of comfort, of pleasure, of enjoyment, of feeling a sense of belonging, of feeling. That's what the Torah HaKadosha is, back to the Nimshal now, that's what the Torah HaKadosha is supposed to be for us. That the Torah HaKadosha is supposed to be, you hear a Dvar Torah, that like, oh, I love when he says this Dvar Torah. How many times when Rav Shechter Shir, so Rav Shechter has certain, you know, it once like occurred to me that like, Rav Shechter has a Gadol B'Torah, like you can't even fathom the amount of knowledge and how it's processed and how his brain works to make connections that you never would, like you can't even, I can't. I don't have the capacity to process how like what goes on in that brain. But as a Magid Shir, I could begin to understand the process. And the process is essentially that he has certain shtikalach that he thinks are very important for people to know. And he says those shtikalach over a lot. It's just that his warehouse of shtikalach is not like for me, it's like I'll remember at one time like four shtikal Torahs, right? For him, it's like 4 million shtickel. I mean, just the otsar that he can draw upon in his brain is much, much greater. Again, I'm not talking about as a Talmud Chacham. It's for gazillion as a Talmud Chacham, but as a Magid Shir, like that's so. Like there are many times, right? You remember this sitting in Rav Shechter Shir, and it's like, oh, he's saying that piece again, and like when he starts saying, oh, I remember like looking around the room, like when we were sitting in the shir, like to Tani Cohen and Danny Stein, and like, oh, he's going to tell that story now about the, like we knew, we and then when he says, ah, great, you know, like we knew exactly what was coming next, you know, that was and there was a certain comfort level because it was super geschmack. We wanted to hear it again. We were dying for more of what essentially is the same. So when we get married, we highlight Even though marriage is a lifelong commitment, and there's the risk of monotony of day-to-day life that leads to a sense of boredom, we commit that it should be Kedas Moshe Yisrael. Think about what that says about Das Moshe Yisrael. That's the aspiration for the marriage. That it should always be as exciting as hearing that Shtickle Torah from Rav Shechter again. It should always be as exciting as hearing, you know, as hearing that which I already know. The Gemara Nita says this about a marriage. The Gemara asks me, Ma'am Torah Nita Shiva, why does the Torah say Nita Tami Shiva? Why would Hashem decide that a man and a woman need to be physically separated for a period of time? Hashem was running out of ways to torture us, so he decided, you know, well, this will be fun. You know, let's put a man and woman who really like each other and attracted to each other in a room alone together where they live together and just say, can't, right? Meaning, well, what was the Kodesh Baruch Hu thinking? Why did he do that? So Gemara says, Mepnei Sharagil Ba, Vikatzba, Amr Torah Te Tzmei, Shaviyam, Shetei Chaviv Al Bailik, Shasmi Yisal Zalachupa. That the point is that there shouldn't be a sense of monotony. There should be a sense of excitement, of energy, and it tends to re-energize the relationship when you have a sense of a time of physical separation. The way Rav Shechter teaches the Gemara, he has these unique translations, is so that the couple can fall in love all over again every month. You never hear another major Rashiv translate the Gemara that way. Just like the Torah is fresh and it's new every single day, the marriage should be fresh and exciting as much as, I mean, that's the goal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that to be the marriage. He wants it to be as fresh and exciting as it could be, so he engineers it to be as fresh and as exciting as it could be. The familiarity shouldn't breed boredom. It will breed a certain fondness, a certain comfort, a certain nostalgia, a certain joy, similar to your favorite song, similar to your favorite Shtickle Torah. The Gra explains that the great credit that Aaron deserves for lighting the menorah and not being Mishana is that he did it every single day. And he had to do the same thing in exactly the same way every single day for 39 years. And he never looked to innovate or mix things up or see if we could do it differently. He appreciated every moment that he had to serve in that way. Rav Druk elaborates with an important detail. He says, you know, the very first day of the Chanukah Samizbeach was the day that Nadav and Avihu died. And Aaron and his surviving sons were commanded, Rasheichem al Tifru, Vigdeichem al Sifromu, meaning that they weren't allowed to observe Avelis, and instead they had to carry on with the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. So he had no choice but to do the other Avodos, the cleaning and lighting, meaning the other Avodos, but the cleaning and the lighting of the Neros, that could have been done by others. That didn't have to be done by him. And even when completely not in the mood, even when having a bad day would be like the grossest understatement. Having the worst day a parent could ever have, suffering such a tragedy, lo shina. Aaron did not change. He didn't veer from what would become his daily schedule for the next 39 years. You know, when we put on tefillin, many have the practice to say Eres Tichli Li'olam, which is a curious practice. We're talking about Erisin. You know, the boy is 13 years old. Why are we already talking about his shidduch? Okay, by certain chassidim, by rebbes, they already made the shidduch at 13. But typically, that's not the practice. Let the parents look at wounds from the cost of the bar mitzvah before they have to start thinking about what flowers cost at a wedding. You know, but maybe the message is the same. A bar mitzvah boy is going to be putting on tefillin every weekday for the rest of his life, except for that tekufa in high school. When we first get our tefillin, we're very, very excited about it. We prepare in advance. You know, I remember when I was in sixth and seventh grade, our menahel of South Shore, Rabbi Hertzberg Zichrono Levracha, there's actually a biography of him. It's fantastic. I'm quoted in it a few times. And the biggest kibbud you can get from Rabbi Hertzberg when you're in sixth and seventh grade is you get to wrap up his tefillin after davening. And like we'd wait online, like who's turning, and he'll say, and then you got to wrap up his tefillin, and it was like we were so excited because it was a boy just before he's at the stage where he's putting on tefillin, and it was so super exciting. Mm-hmm. Remember our sixth grade Rabbi Krieger used to give the same bracha to every boy. It used to be that when you'd put on tefillin for the first time, so you would take around a cart with donuts, orange juice, and I kid you not, schnapps, and go around to all the rebbeim and have a l'chaim with them. And like I don't think this would work nowadays, but so Rabbi Krieger would take a l'chaim every time, and he would give a bracha that when you put on tefillin for the rest of your life, it should be as exciting as when you put on tefillin today. You know, we can't allow ourselves to get bored with ruchnius. Rabbi Bamberger said that he was once on the porch of Yeshivat in Tivarye, which is, you know, stone's throw away from the Kotel. And he said that one of the Talmidim, he told one of the Talmidim, like, oh my gosh, look at this, this is amazing. You're so close to the Shechina, you're so close to the Kotel. You know, and the guy said, you know, I'm embarrassed to admit this, but by this time of year, it's just a wall. And I've been here for so long, I see it every day. Chaim Shmulevitz pointed out that the halacha that when you enter the Beis Hamikdash, you have to leave through a different door than you entered, is because you should be excited to explore and to see every inch of Kedusha. That Kedusha, it animates me, it excites me. So I don't want to go out the same way I came in, because then I'm not seeing something new. I'm so excited and interested in Kedusha, I want to uncover more. In fact, there's a girsa in the Gemara that says that it's a mitzvah to cut through a shul. The standard girsa in the Gemara is that it's a mitzvah to cut through a shul. That you're not allowed to make a shul into a shortcut. But there's a girsa that says that it's a mitzvah to cut through a shul. In my second sefer, I quoted a Ran in Megillah, Daf Tesav and Beis, where the Ran says, "Shehu mipnei shenira kimechaviv es beis haknesses." Because by making the shul into a shortcut, going out in one door out the other, you're showing your love for the beis haknesses. Machza Shekel and Sim Kufnun Aleph explains, by going through the whole thing, you're showing that the inyan of Beis HaKnesses is something that's so beloved to me, something that's so meaningful to me. That's the inyan of going through the Beis HaKnesses. That you're excited by Kedusha. Rav Shach said that when he was a bar mitzvah boy, how did they celebrate a bar mitzvah? They gave a little piece of herring and maybe some schnapps, and if you're really, really rich, sponge cake. A piece of sponge cake also. That was for the gvir. Now we have big bar mitzvah parties that cost tens of thousands of dollars and swag and amazing food and things with the bar mitzvah boys' initials that are probably copyright infringements, you know, like, so, you know, if you have to deal with the lawsuits afterwards, it could cost millions, you know, and, you know, like all this amazing food. And so, and the one, you know, so the typical next line that a rabbi says is, "Oy vey, woe unto us, this horrible generation, if we only knew what to value." Rav Shach had such a beautiful take on it. Again, I heard this from Rabbi Bamberger. Rav Shach had such a beautiful take on it. He said, when he became a bar mitzvah, there was no other option but to be a Shomer Torah mitzvahs. Either Shomer Torah mitzvahs or you're not part of anything. Like, there was no, it's not like, there was no other path. Like in life, that it was even possible to take. Nowadays, in America, there are so many competing distractions that someone could choose, you know, and paths in life that one could choose other than the Beis Medrash, other than Torah mitzvahs, other than complete commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if a person is willing to get excited about a chiyuv and mitzvahs, he deserves a bigger party. Within reason. But it deserves a little bit more, because to show that you're willing to be excited about Torah mitzvahs despite all of the nisyonos and all of the distractions, all of the other things that could divert our attention, we deserve a little more. So the message is that we have to get to a point where Kedusha is something that excites us, and it should be our most comfortable place. The most comfortable place on earth should be the Beis Medrash. The most comfortable place on earth should be in the embrace of the Torah. That's where we should feel safest. You know, someone was asking me recently, when you have a lot going on in your life and you have stress and tzaras and this, how do you stay focused in learning? So I said, it's the only way you can function when you have a lot going on in your life. Meaning, the learning has to be, that's your comfortable place. That's your place where you can forget about everything else, and you could just be like, okay, I'm in the embrace of Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, and that's where I feel most at ease and most comfortable. So I said this on a podcast on Headlines, and my brother texted me that my sister-in-law, his wife, was listening to it, and she said, "Did you guys talk about this before? Because you just mentioned the same thing in your Yom Kippur drasha this past year." He said, "No, we talked about everything else, but we didn't talk about that." So how were we both mechaving to the same idea? Because it's true. Right? Meaning when a person has a healthy relationship with the Torah, that becomes your most comfortable place. I would add that the yeshiva within which you learn Torah should also be that comfortable place. Meaning it should be a sense, not, you know, sometimes when you're in a very big yeshiva, you get a sense of just like, you know, it's a machine. You're being pushed through the system, and as long as you don't do something to jump out, you know, like you'll make it through, and there'll be a big chag, and, you know, everyone will say mazel tov, right? And, you know, but it's important to develop a relationship, you know, to feel like when I'm feeling a little down, that I can come to our base medrash and sit and learn if security wants you in, you know, that you should feel like a sense of belonging, a sense of comfort, a sense of relationship, that this is again, now it sounds crazy to give the mushel, but this is your first Beulah day off, meaning this is the place where you find, like, where your mind is most at ease, where all the stresses of life should go away, where a person is able to enjoy the embrace of the Torah HaKadosh. Okay.